It's like God is using our church in the midst of the city where He has placed us, the vision that He has given into us, transform the city with a renewed hope. It's amazing to see all the wonderful work that God is doing through our church amongst the people in the city where God has placed us. Once again, good morning, church. I know we have been listening a lot and we are yet to listen a lot. So can we just say good morning to our neighbor and then refresh ourselves? Thank you. So we've been dwelling on this book of Acts since the beginning of this year, started from chapter 1. And we've been continuing every week after week on the different chapters. And today we are here that coming to the last chapter, that is Acts chapter 28. So I'm sure during all these times we have got, every one of us have got many learnings, inspirations, revelations, and also some takeaways, and we have been working on it as well. Even today, I believe that God is going to speak to us from this chapter as well. And we are going to get involved in what He is asking us to do. So can we just bow down our heads and pray to God that maybe He speak to us. Father God, we thank You so much for this wonderful opportunity this morning. We come at this time ahead into Your precious name. And Lord, we pray that You will speak unto us. And may Your word enter into your hearts. And Lord, we pray that we will be able to do, take action in what You are asking us to do. We open our hearts and minds unto You for You to minister among us. Holy Spirit, we pray that You will dwell among us during this time also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So it was a wonderful privilege for me because in this series of Book of Acts, I was there on Acts chapter 13 when Paul has actually set apart Paul and Barnabas for their missionary journeys. They started their missionary journey in chapter 13. And now we are here in Acts chapter 28 where the journey is almost coming to an end, but which is not actually an end. It was so-called as never-ending journey, which is continuing on and on from the time of the Apostle Paul and even till to date. For a quick recap, let's have a look on to what we had discussed on Acts chapter 27. This is just a glimpse of it, a picture, which says that Paul and his companions were caught up in a terrible storm. Everyone on the ship has given up. They lost their hope. They say that we are going to die. Everyone. But Paul was there. Apostle Paul, he was saying, the Lord sent an angel to comfort Paul and tell him that the ship would be lost, but no one's life will be lost. Those who are in the ship, none of your life will be lost. Everyone will be saved. So this is the word that came through an angel of the Lord to Apostle Paul. And he comforted these people in the ship, everyone with these words. And he encouraged them and asked them to have food together. And he says that everyone will be saved, don't worry. And at the end of the chapter 27, we saw, yes, of course, as the word has been spoken, the ship was broken. As a shipwreck happened, the ship was lost. But all those 276 people who were on board made it safely to the shore. Those who know swimming, they swam and they came to the shore. And those who don't know the swam caught hold to the wooden pieces, whatever they could hold, and they came. Somehow, every one of them have landed on the shore. That is where we ended last week on Acts chapter 27. And we are here beginning from the chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. Let me read out for you guys. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood and he put it on fire. A viper driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. When this has happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, the furnace, let's get the supplies we needed. So we see here that after all the struggle of almost 2+ weeks, where they could not see any sun, any light, nothing was there, they were not aware of which direction they were totally lost, and somehow they landed on this place which was called as Malta. What is this place? Is Malta? Where is it located? Just to give you a short note of it, I just put a map. The red, you can see where I have highlighted Malta. The word was so big than the island was actually when I tried to zoom out in. So it was a very small, tiny island, as like small other islands on the other sides which we could see. Where they have started, just to the right, if you see a big piece of the land, there they have started, and they were supposed to go upwards where there is a Rome, but rather, because of the storm, we see they've been totally diverted from the direction where they were supposed to go, and they have landed in this place called Malta. So this is a place which is located in the Mediterranean Sea, south of Sicily, about 60 miles away. The natives over here are called as barbarians. That means they are neither Greek nor Roman. The island is relatively unimportant or not familiar because this island is in such a direction which is not very common for the people to travel by. Those who travel by the sea for trade and stuff, they don't take this route because it is somewhere on the other direction. So it was not very familiar location or a common location which has a good harbor and facilities for the people to commute and all those things. So when the people over here are called as barbarians, the reason is that doesn't mean that they were not civilized or they are not an uncivilized people. They just did not follow Greek customs or they do not speak Greek. So those who, all non-speaking Greeks were foreigners to people, and that is why they've been addressed as barbarians. So, but what we see here is like, you know, certain things are happening here, which was very common. Like on those days when this incident is happening, it is very usual to have a shipwreck because of the storm, the calamity, everything happens. But then when such things happens around the shore, the people over there generally try to see, what do I get from the ship that has been wrecked? What can I loot from the people who are alive? What do I get out of it? So even for today, I would just say, like, if such a big electronic store gets collapsed or crashed because of some incident and the store is left open without anyone having access, what do the people around say? Let's go in, grab something, whatever my hands can hold, I'll try to grab the stuffs and come home, right? So this is the same mentality even during those days have been happening. So that's what is called as very usual and common thing. But what happened here is something unusual. That is why if you see, even Luke, when he was writing, he was saying in the verse second, the islanders showed us an unusual kindness. So we see that there is something in there, because it's like God has already made a way and he has prepared the land for the people who are going to get land over there. So it's not the same incident or like a common secular incident which has happened or happening across everywhere. But over here, it was like very different thing. Just visualize, imagine how it would be like the people over there. After 2 weeks of struggle, where they hadn't had food also, we saw that, right? So they've been struggling a lot. So everything was like gone. Now the whole ship has been wrecked. They couldn't grab anything from the ship. Everything was lost. And they were all drenched, swimming. So full drenched. And now when they landed on the shore, it is also raining. Rain is okay. Getting wet or cold is okay. But both together is not okay, right? So when you're fully drenched and it is like still, it's very cold, and still you are getting cold on top of it. So that's what the situation over here is. So they are trying to keep themselves warm. And we see here, again, Paul is involved in helping the people to support them, to keep them warm, like put up the fire in the practical task of day-to-day living. Not just as he's not just acting as if like as a privileged elite person, because you see the previous what has happened was it is Paul who's talking to everyone saying that relax bro, everyone are going to get saved. I got a confirmation from the Lord, and according to the word that he has spoken to people, everyone are now saved. So what if the person who has been a leader or like who's been there taking a hold of every things in control, and now he is there. So now once everyone are landed, the attitude of the person would be like sitting back and relax, and now you all do all the things. Because I have told, I got the confirmation, now you all are saved. No. That's not the attitude of Paul we see here. But rather what we see here is, he is like getting involved in things, working out with people, supporting them to see to it that everything gets back to normal. So what would be our attitude if we are such in a place that do we demand service or do we serve? What is it? Our response in case if we are in that such a situation. So even as he still serves the people, he is not getting out of it, but still he is also getting more trouble on top of what is actually happening. So he came out, now they are all landed safely, they are trying to keep themselves warm, but what has happened? A viper came out of the boots and it got stuck into his hands. The every people on the island, when they look at it, they all started pointing out to him, saying that he is a murderer. In a way which was true or right. He was a murderer long back, but not anymore. But now they were all saying like he is a murderer. So now I think he is going to die. But after a few moments, again the things have changed and their thoughts have changed. Everything has flipped back to saying to a different opinion that he is not a murderer. Now he is who he is? He is a god. That's where they came up to it. So the viper that came out of it, the reaction what Paul did to it, he just shake off the viper, which made him to come out of it and move on with what he is. So today, this morning, when we look at this incident, we also have to shake off certain vipers that is there in our lives. Shake off the viper of unbelief. Many times in our lives, we keep asking these questions. God, to ourselves, why me? Why again? What did I wrong I do? All I did was correct, but I never feel that this is gonna happen at all. I don't think that this situation will change into normal. I don't think that it will never come back to in place. I've been serving them all together. I've been telling the word that you gave to me. I brought them all safe to the shore. Now again I'm helping them, but again now I got the viper. Am I going to die? What am I going to do? If I die here, how will the vision come true? How will I be able to reach the room? There are a lot of confusions, a lot of disbelief that happens even in our life today. That kind of a viper which is like stuck onto our hands. But we can't stay with that. Our action this morning, what God wants us to be, is like shake it off. Shake it off what is being holding on to. Whatever the unbelief that we hold on to this morning, God is asking us, shake it off. Don't hold on to it. This is not what I've called you for. Secondly, viper of criticism. After being saying all these things, here we see Paul is again on criticism. A lot of comments being passed. Everyone on the island just pointed out to this one person, saying that he is a murderer. In a way, like, what he will do. All on one side and one man on the other side. Lot of critics. In such a situation, imagine like after going through all the trauma and all the things, now he is landed and still people are looking at him and then passing this comment. What would our response would be if we were there in the place of Paul? When even today, like lot of people passes criticism on us as well. Just because we are Christians, certain things which we do, what Bible has told us. There are a lot of critics even we receive today in our day-to-day lives. Are we holding on to it? Are we not doing things just because we knew if I do certain things, I would be receiving critics back from people. So better I would not do anything. Rather I would stay away, or I would stay calm, or I would stay in my comfort zone rather than doing the things, because I don't want to get into all these critics. Even Jesus had gone through all these things. Like we see, he was called as blasphemer. He was said that when he drove out the demons, he was said that he was acting on with the support of the prince of demons. But he did not respond to all the things. The same way how here Paul was also. He is not responding to any of the critiques, the comments that has been passed on to him. Rather what he did was, he just shook off the viper. What was holding on to him, he just shook off and he moved on. So let us also shook off the critics that is being passed on or thrown on to us. We can't hold on to it. How long do I hold to it? How long do I sulk onto the critics which have been passed on to me on my past or even till day, and even in the future, whatever that is going to come on? I can't ponder upon it. I cannot take it on and on, or I cannot go on and on about it, saying that, oh, these people have said this to me, oh, this has happened to me. No, we need to shake it off and move forward. I cannot hold on to the viper of critics. I cannot stay onto it. I need to move out of it. Thirdly, viper of low expectations. When they said he is a murderer, they didn't stop there. They said he will swell up or he will fall dead suddenly. So the expectation of them, everyone was like waiting for him to die. When is this man going to die? When is he going to fall? So there would be even in our lives similar to that. Lot of people would be looking at us saying that he is going to fall and she is going to fall. I knew this person will not be able to come up. This person will not be able to scale up herself or himself in the life, the journey that the person is progressing to. Lot of false accusations, lot of things that has been thrown on our face right away, saying that this will never happen to you. You will not be able to do it. You will not be able to accomplish this kind of a task. But we can't be afraid on looking at those people. I can't stay in the place saying that, I will not be able to do it. I think I don't have the capabilities. I think I don't have the skill set. I think I will not be able to move forward because whatever they're saying is right. No, what God has told in our lives, what God has promised to us, we need to stick to that. We cannot rely on the comments, or we cannot say on this what the other person is talking me about, but we have to see what God has told me and the trajectory where God is taking me forward on. To do that, prove them that they are wrong, we need to have and we need to be faithful to our God. Christ has given us the life. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can win every day-to-day of our life. But to that, we need to exercise the faith. We need to exercise and work on the things that God has called us, rather than sticking on to the things, rather than holding on to this, all this low expectation that is set upon us. I need to say, no, this is not what it is. But God has kept a separate plan for me. God has given another direction for me to go. I have to move forward. I cannot stay on to this. If Paul would have been stopped there, right there, saying that, I have saved all these people. I brought them to the shore. Now you guys are telling me that I am a murderer. I am going to die. No, I want to do nothing. As a prisoner, I will just stay back. Let the soldiers take care of it. Let the winters go off. Then I will see what's going to happen. Like, he didn't stay back. He didn't sit back. He didn't hold on to the situation. But we see there, he is like moving on to see how can I help the people in this island where I am. What can I be a help of the people where God has placed me right now? So he went into the village. He saw the chief official. He found there's a person who's sick. He prayed over them and he got healed. And now the things have changed upside down. The entire island who was pointing a finger on him are now coming on to him, saying that, can you pray for me as well? Can I also get healed? Can I also get cured? If we stay on the same point, saying that on whatever the comment that has been passed on to us, we will not be able to move forward. This morning, that's what God wants us to do. Shake off all the vipers of unbelief. Shake off all the vipers of criticism. Shake off all the vipers of low expectation that has been passed on to us. We cannot stay over there. Because we have a lot of things to do. We have to move forward. I cannot focus on all these things which people are commenting on me. Rather, I would say, God has given me a plan. I have to move forward. So if you move in that direction, everything will change and the situation will fall in place. That's what we see here in this chapter, the verses that we read. So those who pass on the comments on him as a murderer are the ones now coming back to him. So rather than staying on to the same place, let's move forward and do the things what God is asking us to do. As we continue on this chapter, verse 11 onwards, it says, after 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with a figurehead of twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Regium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with him. And so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and three taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. So we see that finally, after 3 months, they moved on from this island of Malta. The journey has begun back towards Rome. It's not that God is using me here, so I would be here around or doing the things. What is it that God has given me? Are we clear of certain things that God has called us? Am I clear of what God's promises? Paul was very clear. We could see long chapters back also, when he had got a vision, he said like, I would be visiting Rome and I would be doing things over there because God has promised him. So he was very clear and particular on it that I will reach Rome. There is no doubt on it. No matter what the storm came, no matter the shipwreck, no matter the island he landed, no matter the viper that caught in his hand, but he was very clear that I would be reaching Rome for sure, because he has to be there in Rome to share this wonderful, amazing good news. That's what the plan is. That's what the God's promise is also. Sometimes in our life also, God had promised us something, but because of the storm we had went through, we think that we landed up in a land like Malta, but we see that I'm doing everything good over here. Everything is functioning, which is in the presence of God, which is working for the glory of God, which is working for the kingdom of God. But what God has promised me, I cannot stay to certain situation and say that this is what God is doing, so I am okay and comfortable doing the things here. It was the plan of God that they have landed in Malta, but the plan of God was not for Paul to stay in Malta itself. His plan was to take him all the way back to Rome. So what is the plan or the promise that God has given to me? During the journey, I should not forget for what God has called me for. Just because after a few days when every people have been comforted with him, every people have been nice to him, Paul cannot say that, okay, I changed my plan, I'll stay in Malta forever. No. Even today in our lives, like certain times we've taken a decision and we have come to work on towards that, but we cannot change our decision in the part of the journey. We cannot be confused. We have to be very clear and precise on what God has promised to me. What God's promise is for me. I have to be very clear of it. And once we hear God, we have to be clear and stick to it. Like, this is what God has told me to do. And yes, this is what is going to happen. There can be any things that comes in between, any storm that can come across, come in between, do things this and there. But no, I cannot stay back on the place where I'm currently landed. But rather I would say that, no, God's promise for me is not this. This is what he has promised. So I'll keep moving further, move on and on, rather than staying in that particular position where currently I am in. We also have to be clear of what's God's purpose for me. The interesting part here is like, you know, they now reached Rome, finally. After all the struggles, they reached Rome now. It's a super duper excitement everyone had. But we see here, in a way, there are a lot of brothers and sisters are coming to meet Paul. They landed in one place called Cyprus, where few brothers have come to meet Paul, and they've asked him to stay for a week with them, and then they stayed there, and then they again moved further towards Rome. And the moment when they reached Rome also, we see that there are a few people who came all the way from Forum of Appius and the three taverns. So it says that these places are almost 40 miles away from Rome. The people have traveled almost 40 miles out from their current place to go on and meet Paul and see like how he has reached Rome. So it's like so amazing and interesting things to see how God is working in the places where there was no history or record so far saying that the missionaries have been to these places preaching the gospel. In all these journeys of Paul, we never say that like we saw some missionaries who've been gone there. But it is the people who have been moved from Jerusalem, who have received the gospel in Jerusalem. They now move to different places in Rome and also the places around. And there wherever they are living, they are exercising the faith what they have received when they were back in the Jerusalem. So it's an amazing thing. So God's purpose for me is like, not just I received my salvation and I am happy with it, I will be enjoying it, but wherever I go, wherever I travel, I have to spread the aroma of God. I have to see to it that they have to be ensured that the gospel is being reached everyone. So you know, like even at times in our lives, just a matter of like visiting someone's from our community, just visiting them, saying them, how are you doing? Or just calling and checking on them. Hey, how are you doing? What is happening in your life? Is everything okay? Also, just matter of texting that I just remembered you. How are you doing? It'll really encourage them, right? So God's purpose for me in my life is to support and edify the people. That means like then I have to work on it. I have to exercise on it. The people came all the way from there just to meet Paul and his companions. When they came, we see that Paul was looking at the people, he was encouraged and he thanked God himself. So what a strong personality Paul is, we know, right? So how strong he is, irrespective of all the situation that's happening around, all the trials and things that has been put in front of him, he had the courage to speak up, he had the courage to share the good news, even in the midst of the officials as well. But even then, such a kind of a person is also needed an encouragement. The moment he saw all these people, God encouraged himself. So am I being an encouragement to people? Just to edify them. We never know what the other person is going through. What kind of a storm is happening in their life. Just a text, just a check with them, just a word of conversation with them will help them to redefine, to get encouraged, to motivate, to move forward on what God has called them for, the purpose that has been given unto them. Thirdly, am I clear of God's vision, what he has given unto me? So here we see that Paul had this vision and he has now reached Rome. He has reached Rome, but he has never imagined that he would be reaching Rome as a prisoner. So now he has came all the way to Rome, but not as how he was in his previous journeys. Now he has come here to Rome as a prisoner, but still there is a privilege that he has got, but saying that you don't have to be in a prison as a usual prisoner, but you can live on your own. That's what the verse said, right? Like when we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. Just imagine it, like it was a Rome's custom that every 4 hours the Rome soldier would be shuffled. So basically Paul is getting chained to one of the soldiers who's been always all the time with him. It's not the only one soldier. Every 4 hours there is a shift. The person gets changed every 4 hours. Imagine a person like Paul having a new face after every 4 hours. Would make him to be silent? No. The moment the next 4 hours the person comes, changes himself, and then he would be like, hey boss, what are you doing? How was your day? Do you have anything to say? No. Do you have anything to say? Oh yeah, I have things to say to you. That's how Paul took the opportunity in expanding the vision God has given to him. It's not just reaching the Rome, not as a travel place, not as an itinerary to checklist, I visited Rome. No. He was a citizen, by the way, born and citizen of Roman. But he has never visited. This is the first time he is entering into Rome, but as a prisoner, that never bothered him of whatever matter or whatever fashion I'm entering in. But I knew God has a plan for me. I have to speak out the things. So he grabbed the opportunity and he has shared the gospel with every other soldiers that he has been chained with. So how do we come to know about it? Like how do we ensure that yes, this has happened? Paul himself has writes this when he writes the letters to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 verse 12 to 14, it says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. We see here he is writing that every guards in the palace have come to know about Christ. So he has grabbed the opportunity to ensure that whatever the vision and the mission that God has called him for, he was able to accomplish it. Now as he actually, he is like in a house arrest. Everywhere previously we saw, whenever he was on a mission journeys, wherever city, whatever city that he visits, what he does, he goes from a synagogue to synagogue, from one place to another place, and then he gets into the synagogue and speak to the people and preach the gospel. But now over here the situation is different. He's not allowed to move around. He is in a house arrest, but that doesn't bother him. But that doesn't stop him from what he was doing all these days in other places. So are we able to carry the vision all the time in our life as well? Or am I sliding away from it based on my situations and circumstances? Whenever in churches or in any meetings it talks about calling, vision, mission, serving, generally people say, it's not for me. It's probably for the pastor. It's probably for the leaders. Probably for someone else in the church. It's not for me. But when we talk about blessings, when we talk about gifts, when we talk about promises, oh yes, Lord. Amen. After the sermon is over, the person talks to the preacher saying that, I think this is the word that God has given to me. I am taking this promise. I am claiming on it. Yes, it's very good to claim the promises of God. It's very good to receive the blessings from God. But how can I be always on the one end, that is receiving it, not being on the end to give to what God has called me for? Convictions, when promises, gifts, blessings are spoken out are a lot, then the convictions are very less when it is spoken about calling, vision, or in the church or anywhere. I'm not trying to offend anyone here. I'm not blaming anyone. But rather, I want every one of us to be encouraged and ready and be open for God's work. Because in Luke chapter 10 verse 7 it says, the worker deserves the wages. So without working, I don't deserve the wages. So unless and until I don't work for the kingdom of God, how can I say that I would be able to keep receiving all the blessings that what God has given to me? Yes, God has given us all the blessings and all the promises to every of His child. But what in response am I giving to God? What is there in my life that God wants me to be? Am I very clear of what is my mission? What is my purpose? What is that God has promised for me to do for His kingdom? It's a question that is put in front of every one of us this morning. We'll just think about it, that what is it? Are we clear? If we are not still clear, I think it's very right time for us to think about more on it and ponder upon it in the coming days. As we keep moving, we see that as verses 17 to 22, 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, my brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected. So I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain. They replied, we have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that the people everywhere are talking against this sect. We see here that he's not just talking only to the soldier after the soldier. Every 4 hours there's a shift of a soldier, but he's not just stopping himself by talking only to the soldiers. But we see here that he calls out to all the Jewish leaders. We see this pattern of Paul everywhere. Wherever he goes, first he approaches to the people of Jews. He approaches to them and he speaks to them, and then he moves on from there to the Gentiles. So even here, he speaks to them. He always had a plan B. Because it's not that I'm not able to go to synagogue, so I will not be able to meet the Jewish leaders. But rather, he sent an invite out to them and call them to this place where he is currently residing, the home which he has rented out. So he is living in a place and he has called out for all the people. He just wanted to make the things clear out with everyone. He never restricted himself saying, my situation is not right, okay. Currently, whatever I'm going through is not in a proper place, so I would not be able to move forward. I can't share the gospel because I'm house arrested, I'm chained to a soldier, I'm not allowed to move out. No, he has never come up with all these reasons. His heart was always there to connect with people and tell them all about the good news. So he called up all the leaders and he had no idea about what was told to them. He has started all the way from Jerusalem. His route was totally different, and in way like he got into all the things. So almost it's like more than a year, I would say, like from the time he has arrested, a lot of years have passed by now, the time he has reached Rome. So what has been communicated in the past days to the people in the Jewish was not clear enough to Paul. So he wanted to set things right with the people over there, saying what has exactly happened. So he has started establishing a way of communication with the people over there, which will make the things very straightforward and clear to everyone. At times, even in our lives, it's very good to be transparent and open. It will let the doors open automatically for the gospel to be shared. We don't have to do anything else. Be transparent and open itself will help us to move forward and set up the things right. Just over here, we see that, you know, he was setting the things right, saying that I'm not here to speak against my own people, but I am here just because they were not able to listen to what I was saying, so I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. So the moment he said this thing, what was the response from the other side? They said, we didn't receive anything wrong or a bad comments about you, but we wanted to hear from your views as well, what you've been talking about all these days and everywhere, because there have been always something or the other coming up, and there are always people talking against it, or everywhere there is some kind of a confusion or things have risen. So what is it all about, this good news is which you are sharing? Can you share that with us? So that's how Paul was able to open the door even among the Jewish leaders. So they themselves were saying this, that we wanted to hear from you. And furthermore, they say that they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others could not believe. We see here that they themselves had planned that on a certain day, let's all meet together and let's discuss about this. And when they came, they tagged even more people along with them, and they came into the house where he is living, and they started speaking to each other, and what is this? So he started telling them everything what is all about. Some believed and some did not believe. It's not our responsibility to see that the other person is receiving it or not. My job is to share the gospel. My job is to live the life that what God has called me to be. That's what my purpose and my vision is. It's God who will take care of it, what time the person will be getting convicted and getting turned back to the God. So it's not always that whenever a gospel is being shared, it's not necessary that everyone will be instantly, there will be a transformation or instantly things will change. But no, but let's do what we have been called to do, what God has been said unto us. So then everything else, it's in God's hand. The end result, it's in God's hand. God knew when to touch whom. Paul was all the way there throughout the Jerusalem, but God touched him and he was on the way to Damascus. So God has a plan for everyone's life, but how am I getting involved in the plan of God? How am I getting running in the line with what God's plan for me is what all about. It's not about the result. It's not about how many people I led to God, but how many people am I able to share the gospel? How many people am I able to love? How many people am I able to care and accept them as who they are, the way how Christ has accepted us? Even today during worship, we read a passage where God said, Christ has forgiven a lady like who has sinned and said, like, go and live a life not with sin anymore. So God has accepted us the way who we are, but not to stay back the same way how we are, but He wanted a transformation in our lives. So that is what God's expectation is. When He chosen us, He accepted us the way we are, but He asking us to get transformed and get into a new image as how He wanted us to be. If that transformation is not happening, then there is no saying that I had an encounter with God. So are we ready this morning to say to that, like, when we received it, are we in place, in line with what God has called us with? Or are we still on the other side, arguing like the people, others, what they did? So we see here, when there was an argument happened, and someone didn't believe in it, what Paul was talking about, we see Paul goes forward and then they say, they disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when He said to Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. So what is my stand this morning? The word that God has spoken in my life. Is my ears are open? Is my eyes are open? Is my heart ready to receive the correction that God is asking me to do? Is my minds are clear for the purpose that He has called me to move forward? What is my stand this morning on hearing what God has called me for? And when He had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. So it didn't bother him anyways. People received, people rejected. It's their call. But he continued to do what he has been doing. The next 2 years, the whole time when he was staying all the way in Rome, he was doing what he has been doing. He had a lot of other people who were coming in. He received everyone. He shared the good news with them and said to it that everyone who receives the word are being responding to it and growing on to it. If we don't, God's kingdom will keep growing. God's kingdom is keep growing. Like the people, there are a few people who have not heard, not accepted, but that doesn't stop the growth of God's kingdom. God's kingdom will keep growing. Nothing can stop from growing God's kingdom. But if we don't respond, then God will choose someone else. If we don't respond to the calling, if we don't respond to what God has been asking me to do, then there will be someone else who will be taking up the place and it will move on. But what about me? What about my situation? What would be my life that God has given unto me? What is it that is not allowing us to move forward? What is it that is holding us back? What is it that not letting us to move forward? Let's try to see this morning and shook off the things which is not letting me to move forward. Just let's look into a short video. It is only through Christ. Paul was able to do all these things. He was able to share the love. He was able to work among people. He was able to get to know the people. He was able to serve for those people, irrespective of their behavior. It's all because of what Christ has done on the cross. That has made him, that has enabled him to move forward and do all the things, whatever we have said and heard, all these things. You see a lot of people in the scriptures who shook off the things which was pulling them down. Joseph, he shook off the treatment of his brothers. When he met them back, he didn't take revenge on them. David shook off the taunts of Goliath. The entire nation was afraid the way he was cursing them. But he didn't stop there. He went forward. Job, he shook off the advice of his wife and his friends. He never ever committed any sins even through his mouth. He was able to move forward and he was able to commit her to what he has said to God. The woman at the well, Jesus Christ of met. She has shook off her past. She went into the city and she started sharing the things with everyone. The woman with the issue of the bleeding, she shook off the doctor's report. She went forward and she had a belief in God, saying that Christ will be able to heal me. Lazarus, when he was called out of the grave, he was able to shook off the grave. This morning, what is it that I am being stuck to? What is it that is holding me? I need to shake it off. If the plans are not clear and if it is confusing, shake it off. And they got stuck. And they got stuck in the storm. They have no idea in which direction and where they are. But God was always in control. God knows the way. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. John 8:32, it says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's stick ourselves to God, trusting in Him fully, because He has given His own Son for us. If He has given His own Son for us, what else He can stop from giving unto us? This morning, can we take a very moment right now? What is it? Kind of a viper that is I'm stuck with. What is it that not allowing me to move forward in my life? Is it my unbelief? Is it the discouragement around? Is it the critics that has been thrown on me? Is it just because people have set a low expectations on me, I became the same? What is it? Or am I not being clear of what God's purpose is in my life? Am I not being clear of God's vision for me? What is it? The record of Luke just ended here today. But the journey which Paul has started is still going on and on. And we, every one of us over here, we are also still part of this journey. We would be somewhere in 2000 plus chapters, but we are still in part of this never-ending journey that God has started through Christ. Will I be able to say the way how Paul has said, I have fought the good fight, I finished the race, I kept the faith? Will I be able to say it? Can we bow down our heads? Take a minute of time of reflection, saying that, God, allow me, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to take away, to shake off all the vipers which is holding me, which is giving me not to move forward. Lord, may let everything fall down, let everything be moved away, and may I be able to move forward, O Lord. Let me be able to run the race that you have given into my life. Yes, Father.